Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
Something that I've always loved is seeing somebody else's inner genius and being able to bring that to life.
Today on Smashing the Plateau, we're exploring how you can turn your expertise into a thriving content engine that builds your brand, extends your influence, and drives business growth. In this episode with my guest, Sally Curtis, you'll discover creative strategies for transforming your existing work, like books, talks, or long-form materials, into a steady stream of bite-sized, high-impact content. You'll also learn how to create a sustainable content rhythm, connect authentically with your audience, and align your messaging with your business goals. If you've ever wondered how to maximize what you already know and reach new clients more consistently, you won't want to miss this conversation. Now let's welcome Sally Curtis. Sally A. Curtis, founder of award-winning Monetize Your Content, helps legacy-focused leaders become sought after and sold out. Best known for turning books into 2 years' worth of bite-sized content that extends their brand essence, she creates reusable assets that amplify visibility, build authority, and deepen audience connection. Sally, welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Sally, how has your career evolved? Because it's an interesting niche that you specialize in, right? It's not just content creation, but it's very specific about the way you turn certain kinds of content into something that helps your clients' businesses.
Yeah, very much so. So my background, firstly, has always been in the business development space. That's a key thing to sort of put a pin in. But my career and my business life has been incredibly serendipitous. I'd love to say that it was strategic and that it was planned and that I was very, very clever, but that couldn't have been the furthest thing from the truth. So I always like to tell people that it's my storyline starts with a two for God's sakes moments, a could this be a thing question, and then the case of the blinding obvious. So to expand on that a little bit more, one of my coaches many, many years ago said to me, for God's sake, Sally, you've got enough content for 6 books. And at that time, I thought he was mad. I hardly had a voice, let alone any IP. But obviously, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he persuaded me further. And we did turn a 45-minute presentation into 2 books. And I became an author. Then I did nothing. And then it was 8 years after that, I was in this professional speaking arena and I started to see my speaker buddies fatigued and frustrated on this content creation hamster wheel of having to create content, you know, every week, every month, every day, etc. And I said to them, oh, for God's sakes, give me one of your books. And I started turning their books into bite-sized content. Something that I've always loved is seeing somebody else's inner genius and being able to bring that to life. So I just took their book and started playing around on Canva when Canva was a newish thing. And I was giving them bite-sized content. I kept getting asked. I got asked again and again. And then I had somebody completely cold that was a referral of a referral of a referral come through to me, and I did his book. And he had 3 hours worth of video content, so one book and 3 hours worth of video content. And we turned that into 375 assets for him. And it was him that came back to me and went, woohoo, that's 2 years worth of content and strategy done. And that was when I went, oh my God, this actually could be a thing. So we kept proceeding and kept carrying on. And yes, that's where we have become best known for and why we became best known for turning books into 2 years worth of content, etc. And then for all those years, has been about 5 years, I have been utilizing the name and calling myself a content repurposing whiz, which was cute, but it was a bit confusing. Nobody really got what that was when I first started out. And when you're in the right sort of communities and you've got really great people around you, you know, other consultants, and you're just, you know, just having a chat on over coffee on Zoom, I don't even know what we were talking about, but it was actually him that said to me, but don't you just help people monetize their content? And it just was boom, the light went off. Again, I wished I was clever, but it wasn't something that I had come up with. So, you know, we realized that that was exactly what we did. So that was the truth. So we claimed it and named it and rebranded under that, and we've been flying under that banner ever since. So in essence, as you can see, that journey has been, you know, one person highlighting something to me and another person highlighting something and me working with my inner genius and it finally coming to life, because as I've morphed and grown, I've unpacked something else a little bit more to then stand in a very, very unique, very interesting position of literally just turning books and other long-form pieces of content into short form to help the clients that I work with be more visible, credible, and profitable online.
Yeah. So a couple of things strike me. One is, It sounds like you've been very open to listening to what other people say about you to unearth opportunities.
Yeah, very much so. So I think one of the things that really helped me understand the opportunity in listening to other people and having the ability to adapt. So I listen for opportunity. So I'm probably a bit of an opportunist, but I'm also quite adaptive. Very, very early on in my career, I discovered personality profiling tools. Went through a whole different array of them purely because they gave me insight into who I was. And some of them reflected back to me and were able to articulate some of the things that were my inner genius that I couldn't see for myself, because we often don't read our own label when we sit inside our jar. So I'd learned from profiling tools that, you know, other people's perspectives. And I think that's what honed my listening skills of when people reflected things back to me.
Yeah. The other thing that strikes me, Sally, is that you reverse engineered the process you went through, right? You took all of your content and created a book, and then you have now done the reverse with your clients, right? You take a book and you turn it into content, into other kinds of short form content.
Mm, very much so.
Yeah. So congratulations on figuring out where your inner genius intersects with the marketplace. Mm. How do you figure out how to translate what sounds like it's a very valuable process? Like, how do you figure out what to do with that process and what the value is of it?
Yeah, thank you. I think a lot of it comes back from my original spot in before I started my consultancy in this content space, was I was actually the bums on seats girl for lots of our business leaders, meaning I helped put bums on seats at their very, very large events. That's where that business development scenario comes in. So I'd seen what those experts have done, and I have mirrored them. They were really great at providing me back then, which was 20-odd years ago, with what I now know as bite-sized content. So I'd seen what they did and how they went about choreographing that bite-sized content that helped lead people on a journey to an event or whatever it is that you're selling into. So I think it's very important to understand that content and good quality content actually is choreographed and leads people to whatever it is that you're selling into. What the reason where our structure comes in and why I love books and the structure of a book is a book holds the key, because the book is the key. And if I explain it that way, the front cover has the main topic or title. If we just use leadership as an example, the book will be, you know, XYZ Secrets to Leadership, the front cover gives the, you know, the main theme of the book away. And then when you open up a book, you've got an index page. And the index page is set out in chapters, etc. So the chapters help to give you the structure or the methodology. Generally, if somebody's written a book, that they've got their signature program or they've got their signature methodology or the way in which that their secret sauce to whatever it is their service is. So for us being able to see that, that helps gives us the structure. So the book holds the key. Where the strategy comes in is understanding what you're selling into and what your selling periods are within your business and actually tying the two together.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So this is where most people slip up, is they will create content and hope all content is good content. But if you're not understanding what content you're producing and understanding your audience very, very intimately, and you're not understanding what your sales cycle is or what you're selling into, then you're not really sure when the what content to post when. You have consistency issues, which is a big thing of what people come to us is, you know, they do some content and it might not work, so they stop doing it for a while and then they get busy and they don't have time to create content. So there's that consistency piece. So one of the key strategies is being consistent. It's your consistency rhythm. If you know your business well enough and your audience well enough, that may mean for posting 3 times a week on social media. It may be 5 times. It may be once a week. I've got clients across that whole spectrum, some that only post once a week and some that do every day of the week. So find your consistency rhythm and stick to it is the first key from a strategic position, because that helps to build your credibility and your trust in the marketplace. And if you are easy to consume and you keep people coming back for your content, then you become inevitable to buy. That's just part of the human nature and the familiarity of the connection that people will have with you. But if you're creating content and you're not sure what you're leading people to, which is why I always ask my clients and I would ask the audience, what are you selling into for this quarter or this 6 month period or this 12 month period? And I go back to the good old philosophy of, I think it was Stephen Covey's big rocks, small rocks and sand, and then water in the jug. And if you Google that, you'll find that, you know, that's a prioritizing process that people can follow. So when we look at a calendar, I don't want to know about your content first. I want to know what are your key selling dates, what are you selling into, and what conversation do we then need to have? So this is that reverse engineering strategy again. What's the end result? You know, what dollar volume do we needing? What are our selling cycles? Are they seasonal? Are they specific times of the year? Have you got a launch? You know, what are those launch dates? And then working back from there, what do we need to be teaching, educating and helping people have forward movement with you, so you're leading them on the journey of consuming your content so they can come along and buy whatever it is that your next thing and moving them along that journey.
Yeah. Could you share an example of someone that you have taken through this process?
In what detail?
Like starting with what it is they're selling. Mm-hmm. And then how you've designed the content rhythm to feed into the sales cycle.
Yes, certainly. So generally speaking, let's talk a 6 month plan. Generally in a over a 6 month period, people will usually have 2 product launches, sometimes 3, or program launches or something along those lines. So we would look at that 6 month content plan, and we would work out when are the key selling dates, as well as are you taking holidays? Is there school holidays in there? Is there public holidays in there? Because that content calendar or that calendar that you're looking at needs to support your lifestyle, but it also needs to be relevant to your audience. And if your audience is mums and dads that are, you know, about to run off on holiday because it's school holidays, it's not a good time to be doing a promotion. So knowing those sorts of things when you're planning it out, it makes sense. So when you know your big launch days and you know usually the two, now with the way the market's changed, we've got a, usually 2 weeks out from a promotional period. So that becomes the, you know, don't forget we've got an event, don't we forget we've got an event, that type of promotional things, or here's our link to the tickets. That's the look at me, I've got an event. But the content prior to that needs to be around helping people understand the problems that they may be having, talking about the transformations that they may be seeking, and helping them understand how it is that you can help them. Because some clients are ready to buy right now, and that they will literally jump in that jump on board in those last 2 weeks of the promotional period. But there's so many other people out there that either are starting to realize they've got a problem, or don't know they've got a problem, and you need to educate them about the ways in which you can help them, bring that to life for them and help them see that. And then there's those that are starting to look, they're starting to look for that expert that might be able to help them because they're starting to see and feel the issues. And when it comes to that sort of content, you've got your educational content, you've got the content that helps position you as the expert because you can help them know what the problems and the issues are. And then there's content that helps them see the transformation that they're seeking. So that emotive content that acts like a mirror, which is why we create that very visual, very emotive type content. But it's scheduled out in those sequences of types of content over that period. Plus, if you look at the content plan, you've got 3 months. So what are the three key themes for that period? And then what is the smaller breakdown content in there? So you're literally looking at your calendar 6 months, then what are the key themes for each of the 6 months as a month? And then what are the key topics and what are you going to be conversing and sharing with your audience week by week? So you're sort of breaking it down in that way, and then you can break it down into the bite-sized content that you can create as well. And if you think of the calendar plan in that way, it also helps you utilize your book in that way because your book will roll out in that manner as well.
Yeah. Sally, are there differences in this strategy between corporate and individual clients?
Yes, there certainly can be. So individual clients, we as individuals or personal brands, we tend to educate, well, actually, I should say most people don't tend to educate quite as much as they should be. That's usually everybody that has a personal brand will tend to go into promotional mode first, because obviously we're promoting something, but it's a really great habit to get into that educational, entertainment, infotainment type content. So sharing some of the backstories and helping people connect with you on a much more personal level. From a corporate brand perspective, they're usually really good at educating and helping people understand what problems they solve, but they don't have that deeper connection because of being a bigger brand, you're sort of not sharing about, you know, things that you did on the weekend or what your personal insights have been. It's more of a company perspective. So that's where they need to use more social proof from, you know, the transformations that they've helped with their clients. So the contents are similar, but a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And are you talking about the seller being corporate versus being an individual?
Yes.
Okay. And how about when the end user, the client, is a large corporation versus an individual? Is there a difference in the process?
Yes, usually in that perspective, because if you're looking at a large corporate, if I look at the clients that I predominantly work with, which is speakers, usually when a speaker is selling to an individual, it's the individual that's paying the bill.
Right.
When a speaker is working or pitching and using content to find a corporate client, there's usually more than one decision maker. So their content actually has to educate the types of decision makers that they have and what is relevant content to a HR person versus a CEO person or the learning and development manager person can be a little bit different. So this is where your different types of content comes into play. You've got your social media content where you can have those themes that speak to each of those avatars, but then there's your newsletters and using your stories in your more of your newsletters that help them identify themselves as, oh, she's actually speaking directly to me today, and the way in which you use your newsletters and how you have your newsletters broken up so they can speak to those different types of avatars. So it's very important to know who you're speaking to at the time and for what reason, because it's very, very, very easy to mix and try to speak to three avatars at once and then have a confusing message. So literally work out who your key avatars are and know when you're speaking to them, because then that way you're not creating confusion.
Right. So for example, if you're a leadership development expert and you primarily work with team members, but the buyer is the CEO or a division head, your messaging needs to speak to the CEO and the division head.
It does, very much so.
Not to the team members.
Correct. The team members can certainly become your advocates. So we'll often use social media a lot to talk to those people that we have that much more personal relationship with. Sometimes newsletters will speak to both, but where you can really hone in and provide the right sort of content for the heads of departments is with your sales brochures or your one pages or your products on a page or your models, etc., that you utilize to speak on behalf of you when you're not there. But you know, you can arm an advocate or one of your, you know, your key people that you've been working with that, you know, wants to sing your praises with one of those tools, and it makes that tool makes it easier to for them to speak on your behalf, so you don't have that Chinese whispers. So that's a different, slightly different type of content. We tend to call that more assets, but it is still content.
Yeah, absolutely. Sally, I'd like to circle back to something we were talking about earlier when you described how your own journey has evolved and how you tapped into your network and resources that you had to learn more about where your greatest value is. Can you expand a little bit on that and talk a little bit more broadly about how you have tapped into community to support your success?
Yeah, I think for me, I've always enjoyed, I'm going to call it coaching, because I've always had coaches or coaches, and I've always enjoyed the coaching aspect of where you're sharing it with other people that are doing the same thing as you. So that for me has that shared, you know, shared vision of being on a journey of growth together has always been fundamental for me. I think where I've really excelled and why I love that sort of approach most and where I've got the most benefit from is I'm a natural networker. So I will naturally think of, oh, that person needs to speak to that person. And I'll always get a phone call that says, hey, Sally, I know we haven't spoken for 2 years, but can you help me connect with X, Y, and Z? And I go, yes, because I've always had a very large network. So I think that ability to be able to network and help other people network and have that reciprocated, not through expectation, but just through part of the process, has been one of the linchpins for my success, because I wouldn't have evolved so many times had I not had somebody tap me on the shoulder or somebody referred to me or somebody opened their network and me end up in another room or a bum on seat in somebody else's event. That's always been paramount for me.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Sally, we've covered a lot of territory in a very short amount of time. So first of all, thank you for sharing some great snippets about your own expertise. If somebody wants to go deeper with anything that we've discussed today or access resources you have, learn more about you, get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
Best place is on my website, which is sallyacurtis.biz. There is a tab there for the Book Maximizer if you specifically want to know about that. And the next best place after that is LinkedIn.
Great. Sally, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest has been the founder of Monetize Your Content, Sally A. Curtis. Thank you, Sally, for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. Please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.